The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness over all the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your hearts will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will come over your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold, incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory.
The time is near of the crowning.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was highly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" asked Mary to the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come onto you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests."
Hallelujah. Praise.
the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger.
They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Tomorrow shall be my dancing day. I
after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness of the light. The true light that gives light to everyone has come and is coming to the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
That was truly something. Thank you so much, choir and everyone. Well, welcome everyone to the Christmas Cantata. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Christmas is a time of many things, and one of those things is family traditions, and perhaps you have some of your own. I heard another pastor speak of his family traditions once, and it struck me as very odd. So I'm not sure if yours are traditional, but this one certainly was not. It was their family tradition that every single Christmas morning they would gather together and they would bake a birthday cake. And they would make it beautiful and put candles on it, and then they would sing, "Happy Birthday, Jesus." And then they would eat the cake together. And it was a glorious tradition until one day, one of the children, the youngest child that they had there, said, "Daddy, I want to give some of Jesus his birthday cake." And the pastor's father went, "Okay, well, how do you suppose we're going to do that? How are we going to give a piece of cake to Jesus?" And this was a conundrum. And so the little boy thought, and he said, "I've got it. We're going to get a plate, and we'll take a small piece of cake, and we'll take it outside, and we'll gather around in the garden together, and then we'll say, 'Happy birthday, Jesus,' and then we'll just flick it up into the air." And that's exactly what they did. Went outside and threw a piece of cake up in the air for Jesus. That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful act of worship, isn't it? And it's no more relevant, really, than what we do tonight when we sing songs. Because it's an expression of thanksgiving. It's an expression of love that we want to give to Jesus. You know, this is a time of many things, family traditions being one of them, but Christmas is also a time of worship. It is a time where we are to pause, to consider once again the great, big, glorious story of God's salvation. And as we pause to consider this, our right response should always be to be brought into worship. And so tonight I want to make sure that we understand what worship is. And so when we come to do it with the right attitude. And if you want to learn about worship, there's only one place that you can go in the Bible to truly understand worship, and that is the Psalms. And so I want to read you one psalm tonight. That's Psalm 98, and we're going to learn together about worship, what worship is. Psalm 98. "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel, and the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the seas resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the world. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity." What we learn from this psalm is that primarily what worship is it is a response to God. It comes after God has done something to us. When you look at the psalm, it gathers up many things, reaching from deep into the past, right into the present, and far stretching into the future, speaking of all that God has done, all that God is in his character, and all that God promises to do in the future. And gathered all up together, God has sung a beautiful, a new song in response to who he is, what he has done, and what he promises to do. John Piper says, "The fuel of worship is a true vision of the greatness of God." When we want to worship, we begin by understanding God. We begin with a picture of who God is, a clear, crystal clear picture of all that God is and all that he has done and all that he promises to do. And as we meditate upon these things and begin to understand all of them, certain responses start to come out emotionally within us. Feelings of reverence, of contrition, of trust, of gratitude, of joy, of love, of hope. We express these emotions, these convictions through our prayers, through our art, through our life, and through our songs. And this is worship. Worship is that which begins with all that God has done, all that God is and promises to do, that comes through our thoughts, is then taken down and heated in the furnace of our heart and then expressed in our life and in our songs. It is an action that takes the whole of a person. You cannot forget the head in worship, otherwise it becomes meaningless noise, something that we don't really pay attention to, but may perhaps just feel. And you cannot forget the heart, lest it become cold and rote, but not really emotional and strong. It takes the head and the heart, all brought together, the thought and the emotion come together to be worship. This psalm begins with a beautiful idea. Sing to the Lord a new song. Yesterday's praises will not do. Tomorrow's praises are still being made. We have but this moment, right here now, to tell God of His greatness, to thank God and show our gratitude, our joy, our trust, our reverence in Him. We have but now. And so it takes a personal response to us. It takes something which it must be deeply felt by you, deeply personal to you, something that only you could bring, like a child throwing a piece of birthday cake up in the air, something deeply personal to you, an expression that you want to bring to God. As you sing songs of worship, what helps is that we picture God standing before us. You're not singing these songs to no one. You're not singing to the people around you. You are singing to God. In this room right now with us, the Holy Spirit resides. God's presence is with us. Whether you recognize it or not, all your thoughts, all of your words are being expressed to God. So make them count. Become conscious of that fact. And now, when we come together to sing one last song, telling God of His own glory, thanking Him for His great, great salvation, let us do it unto God. Bring to mind all that has come before you, all that God has done in your life already, the great salvation that He has brought into your life. Think of His glorious love, His great compassion and grace as it has come to you. And think of all that He promises for your future, and that one day we will be with Him, worshiping Him forever and ever. Bring all this to mind. Let it go down into the furnace of your heart and be heated there. And then bring it out. No sweeter music can be sung than that which is to the Lord, coming from the head to the heart and then expressed out in our life. So as we come now to the final song, I invite you to sing to the Lord. I'd like to ask Pastor Ken to come up for the benediction.